Catch every single moment of the Houston Astros' quest for another world championship on your home for the 2021 World Series, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Now back to the bench. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Hi, welcome back to the show, John and Lance. Darius Butler's joining us right now. 9-year NFL veteran, played with the Patriots, the Panthers, and the Colts. He is right now doing the Man-to-Man pod, that podcast, and he is with us to talk all things NFL and whatnot here on the show. Darius, welcome to the show. How are you?
What's up, man? How you doing?
Good. We appreciate you. Can you explain to us this Stephon Gilmore getting cut? If the Patriots think, you know, that they're a decent team, a good team, and they got a chance to do stuff, they spent all this money in the offseason, and then you get rid of one of your best players for nothing?
Yeah, I mean, they couldn't have come to terms on a deal. And, you know, they got a guy in the building they feel like can be a solidified, you know, one lockdown type corner with J.C. Jackson. It's not a shocker that they released him right after they played Tampa. They know Tampa would have grabbed him up as soon as they could. But a little surprising that they couldn't come to some sort of agreement, but this has kind of been brewing, you know, for a little while now.
You know, that's it's interesting you mentioned Tampa, because part of this is going to be, if you are going to bring him in as a free agent, I mean, you're basically going to redo a contract. So you're going to have to figure out. Tampa would make the most sense because they have so many corner issues, and it's a team who wants to win right now. But you're going to have to get creative if you're Tampa Bay from a financial standpoint. And based on when he got cut and when he's going to sign with another team, I think it's, you know, Stephon Gilmore is going to have to maybe be okay with a little lower number this year to help teams with the salary cap issues that they're going to have, trying to fit him in.
Yeah, I mean, I honestly don't see that happening. As a premier cornerback, you know, he's 31 years old, but I think he still has some prime years left in him. I don't see him taking a discount, you know, even 4 or 5 games into a season. So I see maybe he gets with the team who has the flexibility, who has the money to be able to take care of him. I mean, I honestly, as a fan, I would love to see him get connected out there with the Chargers. I know they have the money. I love what Staley does on the defense side of the ball. Their run defense has been struggling, but, you know, bringing in a guy who can lock down a guy or lock down the side of the field actually will help you improve your run game as well as the pass defense. So I would love to see that matchup. The Ravens obviously could use them with the injuries that they had at corner and the style of defense that they play, putting a lot of pressure on their defensive backs by blitzing and doing mixing things up. So it's a few teams that I think could use him and I think could get creative and find a way to pay him what he'll be, you know, at least happy with this year.
Darius Butler with us here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. What about Jalen Smith? I don't know that there's as much left in that tank as there is with Stephon Gilmore. Does he land anywhere?
Oh, he for sure lands somewhere. I mean, he's too young with too much ability not to. You know, it's got to be some way that a defensive coordinator can find some production out of him. He still has a lot of time ahead of him. For him, for me, I watch him. I see all the ability. I think he could do, you know, more as far as the preparation, from a preparation standpoint, from a mental side of the game. And that's a big deal. A lot of players struggle with that. But the more you can study, the more you can anticipate things. Even the young guy you see, Trevon Diggs, at the corner position, like, he's been phenomenal this year. But a lot of that is due to his preparation, his study. I can just watch his film and tell that he's preparing and he's anticipating. And that goes for players all along the defense and the offensive side of the ball. The more you can study and be prepared for the play, the faster you can play. And, you know, they allocate a lot of money and resources to that linebacker position. It was surprising to me that they cut him, since he won't be off the books this year. They'll still have to pay him his money. So it was definitely surprising coming after week 4, but his play time wasn't really there. And sometimes, you know, you don't want, you know, that guy, I guess, in the locker room potentially becoming a distraction.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that he was or that he is, but if a guy like that who's drafted high, paid a lot of money, is not playing, that can definitely be a distraction. So yeah, they decided to cut bait, and we'll see who. I'm sure he'll land on his feet somewhere, though, and then for him, it's going to be about taking advantage of this next opportunity.
You know, Darius Butler joins us right now, and you came into the league, played for New England a couple of years, and went to Indianapolis. And that was in the midst of New England versus Indy. That was the big rivalry. I want to ask you a quick question before I get to a question about New England. You know, there's always the thought that when two rival teams, when a player goes from one team to the other rival team, that that team that just got him tries to soak up as much information as they can, inside information about the other team. Did the Colts hit you up for New England-based information on the week of a game against New England? Did you have anything that you could give them?
I mean, yeah, that's always going to be a thing. You'll see when guys, you know, kind of hit the street, a division opponent probably pick them up sometimes just to get that information, depending on how good the player is and how much he'll actually contribute to the team. And then when you come from an organization like the Patriots, it doesn't matter where you go. You know, those guys want information. They want kind of, hey, let me get some of that secret sauce of what goes on behind the curtain there. So that'll always be a thing. Wherever you know, Gilmore lands, that'll be a thing. And then when you're playing, like I remember even being in Indy, you know, Peyton came back and we had some big games against him as a Denver Bronco. And, you know, I had all the questions in the world for Reggie Wayne and Robert Mathis or whoever played a bunch of snaps with him, a bunch of practices with him, as far as things he didn't like, things he did like, you know, checks he would like to get to and things like that. So it's always information to be shared. And it's an information business, and it's also a copycat league. So you want to learn, you want to try to apply as many good things that you can from other good organizations. So, yeah, that's definitely a thing, and that would be a thing for anyone who plays for, you know, really good teams.
Darius Butler with us here on ESPN 97.5, played for New England, played for the Panthers, played for the Colts. What's the difference? Was there a difference between the Patriots and the other organizations?
Yeah, it definitely was. I would say, you know, I was there with the Patriots early on in my career, so that was my introduction to the NFL, and I thought, wow, like, this is okay, this is what the league is like. But going and playing for the Panthers, going and playing for the Colts, you realize it's a bunch of, you know, kind of different ways to do things. And the Patriots, you know, they obviously have had their way of doing things since Belichick has been there, and he's the single voice. You know, it's one voice, and it's a very clear message from the top down. And in different organizations, it's a little different. It's more freedom sometimes for, you know, people to kind of do things their way. But in the Patriots, when you have a guy who is the general manager and the head coach at the same time, you know, a lot less can get lost in translation, which obviously is a good thing because you saw what it produced for two decades. And so it was definitely different. And it sucked a lot of times, you know, Monday through Saturday. But when you jogged out of that tunnel on Sunday afternoon, Sunday night, Monday night, you knew that you had, and you were more prepared than the other team. You knew you had a pretty damn good chance of winning that ball game. So it made it all worth it.
Did Brady walk up to you your first day and say, "Hi, I'm Tom"?
I actually don't remember the first time I met him, but it was because you get there early as rookies. And then the quarterbacks, at least there, you know, are the kind of the first non-rookies to show up. And he came in, and he was just like one of the guys. And a lot of things that we were doing or plays I would make or things like that, my DB, hey, you know, you better tighten up. It's not going to work with 12 gets here. Not going to work with 12 gets here. And when he got there, you know, like I said, just one of the guys, you know, talking trash, the ultimate preparer. He would be a guy who would motivate the defense, the offense. Didn't matter who was on the field, he'd be motivating and yelling and you know, doing his thing. But he was one of the guys. I don't remember him actually introducing himself, but that was another big thing about the Patriots was knowing your teammates. So you had to get to know everybody. You had to know what school everybody went to, you know, from the offensive lineman to, you know, defensive lineman, everyone in between. So it was a cool experience there, and Tom was always a great teammate. And being one of the guys, you know, that's huge in the NFL locker room.
Based on what you know, have the Patriots kind of lost their way a little bit in terms of what it was when the Patriots were really going hot and heavy? And we know it's been a long run, like a 20-plus year run. But do you feel like the Patriots now, Caserio's gone, Belichick and Brady, they eventually had a breakup at the end. We know there's a book that's coming out also that talks about some of that. Do you think maybe the Patriot way and everything that it was a great run, but maybe the way that it's been done is just kind of being lost or broken up?
I wouldn't say that. I wouldn't go that far. You know, now, you know, obviously Belichick, he, you know, 69 years old, I believe now, and I don't think he won't be coaching for that much longer. But I mean, as long as you're going to have a couple down years, maybe in NFL, especially when you got a rookie quarterback. But I can't say that the Patriot way is by any means done or anything like that. I mean, they've had guys who, have been pillars in that organization. Look at the kind of the old guard with, you know, Brewski and Vrabel and Seymour and Ty Law, Brady, all those guys, and then the new guard, McCoury and Slater and Edelman and Gronk. So you have all these kind of different pillars in the organization. As long as you keep bringing in guys, that'll keep that standard the standard. And, you know, you got to find a quarterback. And you got one in Mac Jones who looks pretty good right now, but he'll have to go through his lumps and learning. But I still think the way that they do things will produce success on the football field. You know, it's the National Football League, so some teams will struggle here and there. But I don't think by any stretch that, you know, the Patriot way is over.
Well, it seems like it was the Brady way. I don't know. It doesn't seem like
how Brady was a 56 yard field goal away from taking the L.
Yeah, that's true.
That is true.
Yeah, that is true.
And that was a good kick in the rain too. Like Folk. Yeah. That was a pretty damn good kick. That was in from 58. If it was a little further right.
You played with some pretty good quarterbacks. Brady, Cam Newton is rookie year, right? And then Peyton.
Yep.
That's not a lot of guys don't play with those guys.
Well, I actually went from Brady, Cam, his rookie year, and then the following year I was with Andrew Luck, his rookie year. That was the year right after Peyton was released and went and signed with the Broncos because of the neck injury. So I was with Luck his rookie year. Still, you know, three damn good quarterbacks.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I was definitely blessed in the quarterback department until Luck started getting banged up.
Yeah, I mean, nobody saw that coming, but he was taking a beating, wasn't he?
Yeah, you know, it was ugly early, and part of it was, you know, and the guys protect him, and honestly, part of it was on him and his style of playing, how he played the game. He, you know, he was a quarterback, but he kind of had a old school linebacker mentality, like, you know, so he, you know, the play was never dead. And then if he did throw an interception or something, he was actually trying to get his head in there and make a tackle, unlike these franchise guys walking around now. So part of it was on the guys protecting him. Part of it was definitely on Lux and his style of play.
But last question, why is it that certain guys, Ty Law, of course, you know, I'm digging back to go to Ty Law, but Ty Law, Stephon Gilmore, you were only there 2 years in New England. But we know that Law and Gilmore were, you know, were premier corners. I get that maybe it's just a financial thing with those guys, but they couldn't stick around. But you have Butler and McCourty and Chung, guys who play there forever. Is it just a financial thing that will eventually chase you out of town?
It's financially, you know, they'll try to get rid of you a lot of times over a year or two before, you know, it was almost time. You see guys go on and have a lot of, sometimes, you know, successful careers after. But, you know, it's certain positions and certain people in place that he wants to keep there. And I guess he sees the value there. But you got, you know, Law, Asante Samuel, Gilmore, you know, Revis to leave. A lot of great corners have come through there. And kind of, you know, you get a championship or two out of them and then you let them go. Like, that's what Bill has done. But a guy like McCourty, who came in actually as a Pro Bowl cornerback his rookie year and then moved on to the safety. And being there with McCourty for a year, I knew McCourty was going to be there for a long time. He was just a Belichick type of guy from day one.
Yep. Hey, that's Darius Butler. Hey, man, good talking to you. Great. Best of luck. It's called the Man-to-Man Pod. And
yes, sir.
And where do you can hear it wherever you hear podcasts, yep. I would imagine.
Yes. Wherever your podcast, we're live on our Mondays and Thursdays at 11 o'clock Eastern Time on YouTube. Me and Antoine Bethea.
Awesome. Hey, man, it was good talking to you. We really appreciate
look at
you
that. Just DB staying with DBs.
That's all they do.
Yeah, you know, we got to keep it close.
Bethea was a killer.
That
dude could 14 hit.
Years.
He was a hitter.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. He certainly was. All right, Darius, we appreciate it, man. Thanks for hanging
with us. Appreciate you guys.
All right. Time for me to talk right now about Absolute Marble and Granite, my man, Jeff Aronoff. Look, if you're looking for the best way to get to improve, but it's got to be a big job. It's got to be a renovation. it's got to be, maybe you're building a house and you want Jeff to put in all your countertops and your cabinets and your vanities and whatnot. If you can't find a subcontractor that'll get this job done, Jeff will put in the entire outdoor patio for you. He'll put in that outdoor kitchen for you. You don't, listen, if you've had an older house and you haven't done anything to it, this is something that you got to do. You have got to upgrade, people. And I keep saying it, but Jeff Aronoff is only big jobs, okay? It's got to be something worthwhile for him to go, because he's been doing this forever and he is doing it right. He does entire hotel, all of the countertops or vanities in entire hotels. This is what this guy does. And if you want to make that business something that you're proud of, something that people will go to, something that will upgrade, something that will increase the value, give Jeff a call. 713-880-2822. 713-880-2822. It's absolute marble and granite.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.